We did a crockpot roast beef dinner. And so we surprised him and he walked through the door and he started crying because he said it smelled like his mother's home and he hadn't smelled it in years.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. I love talking about snacks. You've probably picked that up about me. Nachos, especially. But I'm an equal opportunity snack appreciator. I stand with fondue. There's no reason it should have gone out of style. Cheese is timeless. But jokes aside, food is meaningful to me. It's emotional, right? Like just thinking about a Pizza Hut pan pizza reminds me of being a little kid in Lincoln, Nebraska on a Friday night, right? Like we convinced mom to order pizza. That was a big deal. It just kind of takes me back. And I think there are a lot of foods that take me back in time. Like when I lived in Dawlish, England, and I would get fish and chips and eat it by the sea, watching my toddlers play. Food takes us back to memories, connects us to feelings. For the last few decades, I've been the person in my household who makes the food. And that was meaningful to me too, preparing a meal and nourishing the people I love. So it's been an interesting experience to approach being an empty nester as someone who loves to feed my family. My kids are around less often and less regularly. I find myself cooking for one more often, and I don't know if cooking is really the right word. When my kids are coming over for Sunday dinner, I mean, I pull out all the stops. There are two desserts, you know what I mean? We got appetizers, we got a salad, we got a main course, we got bread. Everything is represented. But when that isn't happening, and it's happening less than ever, I find myself doing a lot of eating over the sink. You know what I mean? I also find myself eating like a charcuterie board, which is more like an adult lunchable situation. A little meat, a little cheese, a little vegetable, little fruit here and there. It's like how I used to feed my toddlers. That's how I eat now. But in this stage of life, I've started to notice that I have less of a connection to that part of me that loves to really nourish with food. And maybe it's time to return to the basics. You know, not just feed yourself, but nourish yourself. So I called up my local experts on the subject. My generation knows the food nanny from her show on BYU TV and her book, which gave you simple recipes for every day of the week. Well, Liz, that's her real name, has a daughter, Lizzie, who's carrying on the family name and the family business as the new food nanny, which meant I had the rare pleasure of having two guests in the studio instead of one. And as you can tell, it was a really good time.
How do you introduce yourself
when you meet somebody? The food nanny OG.
Okay, food nanny OG.
Original.
Which oh, yeah. She literally learned what OG was, like, what, 4 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah.
And then once she did, she's like, I'm the OG. Yeah. She didn't even know what it was.
Because everybody started calling me the OG, and I'm like, Lizzie, what's the OG? She was like, the original. And I'm like, okay, it's perfect now. It's perfect.
And also, if people call you the GOAT, that's good, too.
Yeah, no? That's good, too. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay,
greatest of all time.
GOAT is good, too.
Well, I know, but they don't. But
Well, maybe now
they
will.
Well, they're going to start. They're going to start after this.
The food nannies, plural, are all about the value of a good meal. And while I didn't tell them I was hoping to get inspired for my specific situation, eating solo over the sink in my 50s, I knew that they had some universal wisdom that could help me. And they did not disappoint. They brought me back in time to a few decades ago when a regular family meal schedule changed from a common tradition to a rare luxury in a single generation.
It's been 20-something years ago now. Every program on the radio and television was just saying, what's wrong with our kids? Why do they want to spend every waking moment with their friends? Why are they not coming home? Everybody was taking their kids to so many soccer games and dance classes and whatever. Everything interrupted the dinner hour. And so moms were just eating on the go more and grabbing fast food. And so finally, people were starting to say, wait a second, we don't know how to put dinner on the table anymore. We need a meal plan. We need this. And I had been doing it for so long. I said, maybe my little simple, easy idea could help someone.
And that simple idea of a meal plan really is simple. We might have to rewire our brains for a moment to be able to wrap our minds around this. In today's day and age, what we call meal planning, as in the way meal planning looks online, is completely different from what we're talking about here. You've seen that stuff, Instagram meal planning, which involves batch prepping and deep freezing individual portions of elaborate and varied recipes into matching disposable containers, maybe beautiful glass ones, I don't know, and maybe most significantly, it's a ton of planning. In theory, you're constantly cycling new recipes in because the goal is to have endless variety or whatever. I'm probably the wrong person to explain it because I just sort of tap out after the Costco run. But apparently, I'm not the only one. Having a meal plan that's too complicated can be just as expensive and exhausting as having no plan at all.
This is one of the biggest problems. People go to the store when they're hungry and
yes.
they buy everything.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, they know, they're thinking, oh, tomorrow night I'm going to make this. But then tomorrow comes and they're like, oh, yeah, I don't feel like that tonight. Oh, I've got all this and I've got that. And I've had so many women.
Have you seen a million people that buy all the groceries?
Yes.
And
yes.
like there's reels of it. And then they're like, what do I make?
Now I don't know what to make.
So then they go and get the, you know.
Yes, food.
Order pizza.
Yeah. Because they can't figure it out.
Because they're like, what did I just buy? But they've got all these groceries. It's funny.
And
it's a skill that you need to practice.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
One mom said to me, I'm so loaded down with so much food, so much Costco, so much everything to make everything. And she said, what happens is the kids are finally so hungry, I can't decide what to make. We have to put the boots on. These are little kids.
Yeah.
We have to get their coats on and go out and get food. But I have nothing but a ton of food.
So what is this meal plan magic which avoids the wasted grocery runs and extra hassle? Liz told me the meal plan should be customized to the individual, the person making the food. But the principles should remain the same. Whatever you choose, you should repeat. And you're going to hear Liz and Lizzie describe what that looks like in their home with theme nights. Keeping themes has a few functions. It means the planning is always done because you only had to decide once. And it also gives you something to look forward to. Repetition becomes efficiency, which becomes extra important when life is so busy that no matter what you do, it just isn't possible to have a sit-down meal with your loved ones.
More than ever, everybody's got every activity. Yeah. They're gone all the time. But it's like you eat, whenever you make the dinner, you eat with who is home. That's what my mom always did.
Okay.
And then it's like you save the plate for the next kid. And when they come back, I do it all the time with my kids. It's like my daughter will be at cheer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't get back until 8:30, 9. We've already had our food, but then I sit while she eats her food. And that's what my mom would do with me. Eat with who is home. You save their plate because they know that when they come home, they're going to eat it. And so it just works like that.
So they know they're going to.
That's so great.
And then you take the time and have that one-on-one with them.
Yeah.
Have the one-on-one with them.
The best part is they know they're going to come home to a nice home-cooked meal. And so they're not filling up on whatever snacks are available get there. They'll wait.
Yeah.
Because they're going to love the meal.
Yeah. They're looking forward to it.
And they're looking forward to it like you did when you were growing up. I'm like, I wonder what my mom has made us when we come home.
The theme nights make it fun because.
What are your favorite theme nights?
We
like them all.
She keeps the same.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's.
My mom used to do this too.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
What were yours?
It was like. Let's see, Monday was pasta, Tuesday was Mexican, Wednesday was some sort of meat. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. So,
Thursday was like a soup.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
or stew
she did.
Or
that's,
something.
That's, okay, that's
I like
fun.
That.
I'm like, this is a long time
that's
ago,
fun.
But like, I can still remember because
your mom's
I've never heard anybody else say that.
Yeah.
So that was, that's
isn't
amazing.
That funny?
That's
yeah,
funny.
We've never heard of it.
No.
Yeah,
well, my mom always said it just makes the decision making so much easier.
Yeah.
She's like, the same thing. I've got all these kids and I go to the store and I'm like, oh, I'm like, no, I know. Okay, what are we gonna have for our pasta? What are we gonna have for
And even when we eat out, we then eat that.
We still do
like
that.
Friday night is pizza night. And so it's like they know we're either eating it or making it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny.
Oftentimes on Monday.
But there was no deviating.
Oh no.
I say it all the time. It still is the biggest number one problem. The hardest part about dinner is deciding what to make.
I've been married about 5 or 6 years when I got into my actual meal plan, and it hasn't deviated for all those years. I've been married 55 years.
Wow.
So for 50 years, we've been doing this meal plan. It wasn't just a meal plan. It had sense to it. Why were we having the different theme nights? And when
we have never gone away from those crazy theme nights.
Never.
Never.
Well, what happens?
I'm getting sick of talking about it. I'm not going to lie.
Saturday is grill day. It's grill night. So it's perfect. This is why I did pizza Friday and Saturday grill, because I knew.
I don't know if the other kids are still doing it, though, but we both are.
I hope you are able to catch the simplicity in that meal. For 55 years, how many times have they deviated their dedicated theme night menus? Never. So I think that's pretty clear. But of course, I had to ask what happens on the days where you just can't, because that's real life. Have you tried making plans? Yeah, me too. But the food nannies have a strong backup plan just for moments like that.
If our day falls apart and we can't even make what's on our meal plan, then our go-to meals are always homemade pancakes, homemade waffles, a grilled cheese sandwich, a quick tomato soup. What else are our go-to? Eggs.
Toast on eggs.
Yeah, that's great.
German pancakes.
German pancakes is an easy one.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Our breakfast meals are so inexpensive and so simple.
So easy.
Well, one of my dearest comfort food meals for me is French toast.
Oh,
because French toast on our bread, our homemade bread, there's nothing like it.
It's all so good.
I have to stop right there because it's making me hungry. This probably won't come as a surprise to you, but we have a strict no French toast policy in the recording studio, and that's a liability to me personally in this moment. But it was so cool, I thought, how this conversation about food inevitably turned to connections and relationships.
There really is something about homemade bread. I think it's a dying art. And people feel like it's too hard and they can't do it. And when you actually take food, I mean, bread, to somebody, they're like, oh my gosh. I mean, it really does just like feed your soul.
It really does.
It really does.
It does.
And there's just, I think it's because you get your hands in the dough. It's like this whole, I don't know.
I think when
really special art. Yeah. That people can feel it.
It's just like the guy on the BYU, the show we did. And I said, what do you want to cook? And he said, something that's going to remind me of home. So we did a crock pot roast beef dinner. And so we surprised him on the show. And he walked through the door and he started crying because he said it smelled like his mother's home. And he hadn't smelled it in years. And he just broke down crying because this roast was in the crock pot. And that was a show.
It's crazy how the food takes you.
Yeah,
like
it takes you back.
I know somebody that, you know, every year they've got their mom is passed away and they have to make the cake every year for their birthday. Like that was their tradition, this amazing cake. Like food just takes you back to a memory and a moment. And I don't know anything more powerful
than
bread. If I'm being honest. No, about food.
Just food, bread, everything.
Like, whatever it is, like, I don't know anything more powerful that really takes you to that exact moment.
No.
And feeling.
It keeps your family together. I'd love to know what your food memories are of, like,
because, like, I can name the dishes that if I make this, then which kid will feel loved or feel like, oh, that was for me. Oh, you made that for me. And it's so funny because they're all so different. What are those food memories for you?
Honestly, even different connections of, like, I never knew my dad's parents. They passed away way before I was born.
Oh, wow.
But, like, I'll never forget the sugar cookie that my mom would always say, you know, this is Grandma Lida's. And I'm like, it's like certain things like that that just make you, emotional. One of the other coolest things is my aunt. I didn't know that my great-grandma had a cow, now like me, because I have a cow.
Yeah.
And she gave me her vintage butter mold. Like little things like that. And now I'm making butter in my great-grandmother's butter mold. And I didn't even know that she had a cow. Like, I didn't know her.
That's pretty special, though.
It's really, like, come on. Everybody's got such a special memory or feeling that's associated to food. And that is for everybody all over the world.
I loved exploring the connection between food and memory and relationships. And at this point, Liz and Lizzie said something really interesting. While we were talking about all the ways that family dinners can bring people together, and that's good stuff too, so I want you to hear that, they also pointed out how the act of making a meal can give you a chance to connect with yourself, not unlike meditating.
The conversation when you get around the table is more important than the food. And that's where your connection comes in. And that's what people have missed and haven't realized, because that is where the stronghold, the gut of your family is around the dinner table. Yeah. Because this is where you look at each other. This is where you talk about your problem, your sad day, your good day, your happy times, your sad times. Yeah. And if you have a guest always sitting at your table, your family can never just be your family either. It's very important that—
Well, and I believe it more than ever because I'm so busy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time in the day to wake up in the morning before they go to school to connect with them. It really is only at night. It's like by the time we all get home and we can sit around, that's where we really connect about the whole day. And the things that have been shared, like— I remember the dinner table being like fun and crazy, like with the drama of the older siblings, you know, because I was like
she
the
couldn't
baby.
Wait.
And I would
she
be like,
to tell me.
What's the drama with the boyfriend or whatever and things like that. But like now what's so funny is with my own kids, I can't believe the things they're sharing at the dinner table, like what they've heard at school.
It is and a powerful time. Moment.
It's a very powerful moment.
And the time also that you put into a little bit of planning to have a hot meal means a lot. And it's so good for you to get into the kitchen and take a little break and be able to just get in there and think about—
It's therapeutic.
It's very therapeutic.
No, it really
is. It's an emotional thing.
It's an emotional therapeutic thing. Like, you leave it out there when you're kneading the dough, when you're chopping up whatever. Like, it's beyond therapeutic. And I've had a lot of people say that, too.
When I think about all of the modern cry to, like, meditate and be mindful and present, that, like, chopping vegetables is a meditation. I mean, it really is. Or simmering something or just having that. I've often noticed that when my kids were all at home, my kids are all grown, and I would be making a meal, they would just wander in.
Oh, yeah.
They just want to come.
They would just come and sit and start saying things, and what are you doing, and I don't like that, and I like this, and just start talking to you as I just was doing that.
Yeah, and the—
It brings natural conversation, and they want to be there.
And the little kids are not under your feet fighting. They smell the smells. They see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. They're out in another room or nearby. They're just content.
It's cozy.
It's cozy.
Comforting.
And
it's,
I've noticed, too, that like when my kids got older and when they were teenagers, and they don't really want to talk to you in the same way, or they're having a day or whatever, and you just put a hot plate of food in front of them. And
they open up.
It feels like, oh, that's what I need without being able
to ask for it or
say it.
It's so true.
Food brings people together, not just eating it, but also taking the time to prepare it. It creates space to think and reflect, whether you're doing that with someone else or just with your own thoughts. The work that goes into creating nourishment is therapeutic to the giver and the receiver, which gets me thinking about the meals that I pull out of the fridge and eat over the sink. Inevitably, for me, there won't be someone else to feed as often as I need to feed myself. But I shouldn't have to miss out on the process or the nourishment which comes from that kind of effort. Food can take you back to a memory and help you reconnect with old times or relationships. Food can nourish you physically and emotionally. And I heard the food nanny say repeatedly that the work that goes into a meal means something. I've always known that or felt it when I had someone else to cook for. But now I feel like I have a new opportunity. It doesn't come as easily to me to want to take care of myself the way that it's just so easy to want to take care of other people. But part of an intentional life is self-care. And I feel like this conversation was an invitation to me to nourish myself with something closer to the rigor of nourishing my full house back when I had one. I'm still going to enjoy the occasional sink meal or grown-up Lunchable, but I can also make a plan that makes it easier to commit to and enjoy making the food that I love. And I think it's time to make my mom's chicken cordon bleu or my grandma's peanut butter cookies or, I don't know, some of the meals that I used to put in heavy rotation when my kids were little. You know, to bring back good memories and to feel nourished, kind of emotionally and physically, even if it's just for me. Especially if it's just for me.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Becca Hurley-Lung with help from Erica Price and Blake Morse, with post-production by Gracie Davis. A special thanks to today's guests, Liz Edmonds and Lizzie Jensen of The Food Nanny. be sure to check out the Food Nanny website and Instagram account. Links to those, as well as to their cookbooks, will be in the show notes. Don't miss out on two other amazing podcasts from the Lisa Show family, The Council of Moms and Proofread, a new book review podcast to help you read more of what you love. You can find The Council of Moms and Proofread on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
Embark on a whimsical journey with The Appleseed from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. Immerse yourself in captivating stories expertly woven by talented storytellers. Join Sam Payne and the live studio audience in laughter and delight as we explore a tapestry of tales. Tune into The Appleseed for a family-friendly experience that really sparks imagination and brings stories to life. Your tickets to fun and creativity, The Appleseed. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.